Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'd like to have a few laughs here. Hey, I said something in the first hour about how talk radio thrives on negativity. And it does. Anybody who denies that, you're retarded. It's just that simple. Have a look at all the most popular talk radio show hosts. What are the... Are they very positive, happy, friendly, kind, loving, gentle, nice people? No. They're angry, upset, and aggressive type personalities. That's what attracts people to talk radio. I do the direct opposite, and so naturally, people don't want to tune in and be entertained and informed and have a few laughs at the same time. They'd rather go the fetal position route, which, I don't know. I think people need to evolve. Hopefully. They will someday. I'm not holding my breath because I'll die of asphyxiation, I think is the technical term. My very special guest is Eve Logan from evelogan.com. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about the dark occult of mysticism, as I like to call it. And how they got these methodologies of mind control, soul possession, things like that from ancient Egypt. And, you know, there's been a lot of people talking about these sort of things, is that the role of the ancients is very, very, very prominent today, except it's occulted. It's hidden from view, yet it's there, and it's there in a very, very solid state. It's really being... There are people who actually really believe in this stuff, you know, really believe in it. And it's not like this stuff doesn't exist and they're believing in something that's fiction. It's more the fact if you believe in old dark practices and you want to use them on people without those people's, you know, proper consent, permission, you know, that kind of thing. That's just evil, right? And that's the real problem with it. Not the fact that it's old, not the fact that it's ancient, not the fact that it's a secret, but the fact that what you're doing is evil. That's the issue.
Absolutely.
I don't understand why people are getting bent out of shape, you know, and going down this garden path. Because, look, on the other hand, actually, I'm going to have a little bit of humility here. Because I have not experienced these programs myself personally, it means that my comment is, shall we say, inconsequential by comparison to the very reality of it. Now, Eve, yourself, have you actually been through any of these, you know, dark occulted mysticism type practices or anything? Or are you just somebody who counsels those who have been through them?
Mostly counsels people who have been through. I've had unusual paranormal experiences, but I haven't been involved in the ritual practices like some of those people have described, like White Wolf. But more often than not, I think that's what the hidden science and occultism behind MK Ultra is really about, because the secrets came from the families who held the secrets for thousands of years, who had invoked entities, what I call are the false gods or the dark gods. And these dark gods gave them secrets on how to take control and power in their own world, or even secrets of some forms of immortality. And some of those practices are what I think is a type of black magic and mind control and what I call soul theft and energy vampirism. And so this is one of the things I've kind of just discovered along the way when I started observing relationship dynamics of those that had been engineered by whether or not they were aliens or the Mileb handlers of these people, that there tended to be a distraction, destruction, and energetic vampirism issue through a lot of chaos and emotional misery, really, to keep them from harmonization and integration and wholeness. And so in my mind, it's like this is the opposite of what goodness is. This is preventing wholeness and goodness and recovery and knowledge and peace and harmony on this planet. That there are forces that want to keep things in a chaotic way in order to feed off the drama and exploit what some humans have for these entities and the humans who work through them, their minions.
Did you ever see Ghostbusters 2?
Yes, you'd have to remind me on any particulars. Right, it's been a while.
There was this figure in a painting, and he was kind of coming alive and stuff like that. And he was so evil that he would literally feed off the negativity of the average New Yorker. And it manifested itself as this sort of pink slime that was running through the gutters and things like that. And it was actually literally feeding off human negativity, and it was bringing him back to life as if people having bad experiences and actually feeling bad ways is indeed a life force for this entity. Is that sort of what we're talking about here?
Yes, absolutely. Although it's not always negative energy that is fed off of. It could be good energy as well, or just sexual energy, or just plain life force primal energy. So I think it's a real resource of energy that is the highest frequency energy there is, that exists in the universe, is the essence of the soul. So this is what I believe, and why I wrote my second book, The Dark Side of Cupid, so that one could recognize this if it was happening in your relationship, and how to identify it on more subtle levels in terms of relationship dynamics and paranormal identifying factors. Because there's usually some kind of paranormal influence or incident that happens that keys you in to suspect that there's something unusual happening, where there's something like this going on. And what I noticed is that people in these projects, it happened at a higher rate than, let's say, people who were not involved in these secret projects or alien abduction histories. So there are other entities involved and other dimensional realities that seem to be able to interact with us through a type of intermediary. So what people actually reported, and this is something that Arizona Wilder told David Icke years ago, that we had heard from abductees and people in these projects and other, let's say, psychics, were observing for years that they were observing what I call they call it a fourth dimensional entity or a reptilian lizard type entity, although it's not always in that form, that will overshadow a particular person and as an attached entity kind of situation. And when the attached entity
like
and overshadowing,
position.
Well, it's almost like a partial possession or a full possession. And actually, I go into that in my book about how to really tell what's the level of interference and possession going on. Because when there is a full possession going on and one of these interdimensional entities has fully hosted or possessed someone, then that entity works through that human like a puppet to literally vampirize energy and be like super emotional vampires or psychic vampires, or in some cases, blood vampires. So what I saw behind the dynamics of psychic vampirism was the entity that was working on these other levels using the human as a host.
Well, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a movie out now called Host. I think it's coming out in April, and when I saw the previews of it, I just almost fell off my chair, because years ago when I was interviewing people, even before my first book came out, I had done articles on what we called the reptilian host situation, when people were starting to discover these really unusual things about certain individuals. And sometimes they were individuals in the secret government who were high places of power that were just like extremely evil and emitted this just really awful energy. And psychics and clairvoyants were able to perceive that there was an entity overshadowing them that looked like this big Draco or a lizard with claws and a tail and the whole nine yards. And their eyes would shape shift sometimes. You'd see their pupils change. So we talked about this years ago. And so now when I see a movie coming out called The Host, I just have to wonder, you know, who these creative people are who are making these movies and what websites they've been visiting. Because I had an article on my website back in year 2000 about reptilian hosting and what that's like and what happens to a person when they become hosted. And it's almost,
you know, comical. What it sounds like to me, it sounds like there was some big Hollywood kind of, you know, like, we'll do lunch, kind of meeting that takes place there. And I guarantee you, one of the people at the table works for military psyops or black ops intelligence or something like that, and they're the kind of guide and, like, offer suggestions for the script and things like that. But, of course, when the movie comes up, it's just written by this one particular person who just happened to be there at that table.
Right. Well, of course, I heard stories about this years ago that some of the TV people would hang out in the MUFON meetings in L.A. and hang out and visit some of these support groups so they can get ideas for their own little shows and things. I mean, I saw things on X-Files and other TV shows which were incidents in my clients' lives that were very unique and personal. And I couldn't figure out, well, that's really interesting. And I think they get information whatever means they can, and it's not always.
Have you noticed how psychos steal other people's ideas and try to make out that they're their own?
Oh yes, I mean it's just what Hollywood is about. I think there's a lot of unethical things going on in Hollywood, but that's really a no-brainer. I mean, there's so much out about the entertainment industry and how it's actually, especially in the music industry, is being controlled or has been controlled by a lot of the dark Illuminati forces and, you know, the Michael Jackson story and the Britney Spears, and you see all those videos and you have to wonder when you see some of these symbolism, once you know how to recognize the symbolism and you see it being played in mainstream media, especially in the music industry, it gives you an idea of the subliminal mind control techniques that are being used to affect the consciousness of anybody watching or listening. And so mind control is a really important thing to study if you want to become clear of influences which would actually dampen your ability to reach higher consciousness. And so if you really want to reach higher consciousness and integration and enlightenment and become free and sovereign, one would be mindful of what kind of influences you allow in your information field and in your visual field and what you watch on television, what you allow yourself to listen to, who you interact with. So it is really a rabbit hole to go down to understand the depths of mind control and how it's being used in symbolic ways that affect us on subconscious level that we're not even aware of. So,
Well, I've said for a long time that there's just no creativity left in Hollywood, okay? And if you don't believe me, two words, Rocky Six, all right? Mm. And the music business, I think as Jabba from Babylon Dakota told me, he said the music business is not about the music, it's about business.
Yes, business, that's true. But, you know, when you think about what is creativity and what is true talent, and in my view, creativity is an aspect of the human soul, which is divine. And even in the Gnostic tractates, they talk about how humans have this special gift of nous, N-O-U-S, which is the ability to create, the ability to have imagination and the life source and the ability to create, the creative process. But the archons, who are the dark gods and minions under the demiurge, which is kind of like an antichrist figure in the Gnostic tractates, which it's talked about in the Nag Hammadi library, and John Lash is actually the main scholar who really talks a lot about that. But I just wanted to make a point, though, that one of the unique thing about humans is that we have that creative soul essence, the ability to create. But when the soul essence is trapped, oppressed, taken over, or does not exist in some of these entities, they lose that capacity. So you have to wonder, if the creative process is being lost or trapped or oppressed, then that's not a good thing. I mean, one of the hypotheses that I propose in my book, The Dark Side of Cupid, is that these entities will take life force from people and the soul essence because at some point in their evolutionary process, they lost the connection with the divine. They lost their connection to access it themselves somehow, some way, whether they gave it over to Satan or whatever you want to call it, or they never had it. But it's something that we as humans have that is very special and unique, that is our divine right, and that we can tap into. But in order to tap into that divine power, we need to really have enough of silence and connection with ourselves that's free of distraction. So it would behoove us to really get more connected with that divine power in order to have what it takes to deal with some of these darker forces that appear to be really moving in the world in a rapid pace now. And it's manifest, of course, in the MKUltra programs, no doubt. And also in the entertainment industry. You could see it in politics. You could see it in many ways once you know how to recognize it for what it is.
I think it's so, virtually, you know, you can't not see it if you're paying attention, if you know what you're looking for.
Yes, absolutely.
Everywhere. And saturating.
It is, and it's not to mean that we're honing on the dark side only, but I think it takes awareness, and an awareness of being aware to start to recognize things for what they are, and to be able to act accordingly based on your awareness of what's happening. And, you know, awareness is such a divine gift, and it's something that we should nurture and support with one another.
Mm-hmm. And what I find very interesting about human beings as well is that a lot of us really not that bright, or more to the point, we're just ignorant. And we don't know what these things are, how to identify them. Like, we may clue up and go like, ah, here's one aspect that I can recognize. Ah, that person said that one thing that one time, therefore he's a reptilian shape-shifting multidimensional entity. Actually, when you're looking for things such as subtleties, such as lying, there's clusters of behaviors that are all together there. If somebody's really a liar, they will have many, many, many signs all together, like one after the other, boom, 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 and then you'll know they're a liar. Just because somebody said one time had a Masonic handshake or something doesn't mean he's Satan himself and capable of controlling and or destroying the entire universe single-handedly. Okay, you know, you don't jump to those conclusions. If you see, on the other hand, 100,000 things that he's done which say exactly that same thing, never know. You might be dealing with the Antichrist. We'll be right back after the break with Eve Morgan.
Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us?
Welcome back. Lead to the collapse. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about vegetables and extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Eve Morgan. And we're really getting into that. And have you noticed that the reptilian thing, that's the go-to demonization word, you know? I remember I was talking about the two different types of fluoride, the difference between sodium and calcium fluoride to somebody once. And this lady pipes up and says, oh, you'll be talking about reptilian shape-shifting aliens next.
Fluoride and reptilians. I didn't know there was a connection. That's a good one.
Yeah, what's interesting is that people call us conspiracy theorists and they tell us that we're coming up with connections that don't exist. And their illustrations to prove that we're coming up with connections that don't exist is by them coming up with a connection and demonizing us with something that doesn't exist.
And they don't believe in demons.
No.
Oh, I don't know. I just try not to pay attention to those who are really less aware and are just doing what they're programmed to do, in my mind. I mean, they want to ridicule people who are saying things that are uncomfortable, and it really all boils down to cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is really a psychological reaction to some very uncomfortable, reality-shattering awareness that suggests that they do not have the power they think they have, or the control in their life that they think they have, or that their worldview is not what really is. So many people would rather opt to ridicule and criticize and make the messenger wrong, or kill the messenger, or defend the matrix even with their life. And we've seen this over and over again. I mean, people in trauma, for example, or many people who've had trauma, a lot of times they don't want to deal with it, and they're in denial about it, and they will defend the denial system with traumas, addictions, for example, and then deny that they have a problem. So there's many ways that people really don't want to process information that's very scary and uncomfortable. So that's part of my work, actually, as a counselor and hypnotherapist, is to try to create an environment of safety, support, and trust so that we can explore those things that are kind of scary and to be able to create a foundation of safety so that people can process and build their own strength and emotional intelligence.
You know, Eve, I don't know if there is a way to get over cognitive dissonance without actually going through the cognitive dissonance. You know, like you don't know what it's like to be through a roller coaster until you've ridden it.
Yes, you know, or to be through what I call the dark night of the soul. Sometimes great insights happen as a result of going through deeply painful experiences. And if you come through the other end, you become wiser and stronger. And you can have many more insights than you would have beforehand. And sometimes that's what it takes to wake some people up.
Yeah, a listener called up one time and said, you know, I'm living with my wife and she's not awake or anything. How do I wake her up? And I said, call the cops on her with a false allegation. All right. When they come in and hog tie her with fisticuffs for absolutely no reason, goes through a massive court trial and everything like that, and sitting in the cells, and it's all a complete lie, she'll stop believing in the system. That's what happened to me.
Oh.
But, you know, it's like, I think you have to disillusion somebody in some way. I don't advise, of course. I was just joking. I don't advise, yeah. Of course, you know, falsely do this to people, because it's evil to make people suffer just in order to get them to do what you want them to do, I think.
Yes.
You know, no matter how good you think it'll be for them.
And, it's, you know, we can't force people. That's one of the things that's really frustrating. And if you have a relationship with someone who's unaware, and let's say you have had alien abductions or you discover you're in a project and the partner is not aware or they can't handle it, or if you realize that they're actually being manipulated to be what I call the controlling partner. And this is something that I just talked about in The Love Bite and also The Dark Side of Cupid, where a MILAB person or alien abductee who's coming to an awareness of their experiences, very often there appear to be forces at work to keep their partners unaware and to prevent them from awakening. And it's really frustrating to have to be with someone who's either being manipulated or they just choose not to be aware. And it's not a fulfilling, safe relationship to be in. It's not promoting of life and harmony and higher consciousness. It's a detriment. So these things affect us very seriously. Relationships are a very important part of our lives. That's why I go into so much detail in my book about healing and what we can do about it and how we can communicate effectively so that if something strange is going on, a way to approach it so that it doesn't bring up too much fear, criticism, and blame, so that we could really deal with the issues straight on and lay the truth on the table. Because the biggest problem, you know, let's say for people in MKUltra, the Super Soldier Projects, whether it's alien abduction, is that there's been an environment of secrecy and enforced secrecy in their lives. So they're having to live these double lives and keep secrets because it's not safe to tell the truth. So we need to create an environment where it's safe to tell the truth and just put everything out on the table so that we could actually function with harmony and truth, instead of having to hide things and be afraid to speak up, or you're going to get punished, or they're going to kill your kids, or whatever. I mean, these are real issues that these super soldiers have to deal with daily. They have to deal with whether or not they're going to be murdered or a family member is going to be murdered. And that's like a regular daily stress. And like, quote, a normal person, if they thought about what it's like to live a life of a MILAB or a super soldier or MKUltra assassin, they have no idea of the tremendous stresses these kinds of people are over. And then they can't even find the support, because when they do, nobody believes them. Hmm. So we have to get this out in the open, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, well, basically, just because somebody doesn't like what you're telling them if they don't like the truth, it doesn't mean that you should shut yourself up and stop and censor yourself and stop you from saying it. It just means you know how they're going to react, and that's about it. And it's sort of like repetition, for instance, one of the most effective forms of brainwashing, allegedly.
Yes.
So if it's coming out of many, many different mouths through many different mediums, and you hear it many times, you'll start to believe it. And the same goes for the truth as a lie. People will start to believe the lie that it's repeated as much as they'll believe the truth that's repeated. The key is you've just got to keep saying it and don't shut up until it is a well-known fact. And, you know, I applaud the people who come out of these really dangerous, horrific programs and are actually willing to share their stories and experiences in order to remove the veil of secrecy, remove the veil of cognitive dissonance and denial that envelops our society.
Oh, yes. And many of them probably prefer to be anonymous, so I find ways to interview people, let's say in a written format, where I could use a pseudonym and change certain identifying factors so they don't have to feel like that they're going to be identified, and that's helpful also, although I'll have to tell you that many of them have had reprisals for speaking out, even in the least little way, even going to a support group. They'd later get abducted and, you know, punished by their handlers or the aliens for even going to a support group. And then they're, I'm sorry, some of the things that the aliens would do, I mean, I know this sounds terrible, but the aliens or the handlers, because we're not always sure if it's an alien, will do something to the individual to make them afraid of or dislike the person who is the, let's say, the support group person or the researcher. So suddenly you may find that certain people, they were friends, and then the next moment they did a 180 on you, and you're the enemy, and you've become evil and bad, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't do anything here. What happened? And so sometimes they get taken and tortured and told things by their handlers about this person or that person, and or they get psychic messages, and then you have to wonder where those psychic messages are coming from. So these are all these fun little things that we've discovered in this community where there's so much of the paranormal weirdness going on.
Can some of those cases be written off to simple paranoia?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes simple paranoia. And it's easy to become paranoid if you're immersed in this research, especially if things really do happen and, you know, psychic attacks and that kind of thing. And it does happen. It's true. But yeah, you can get overly paranoid. And I would say that one of the things that increases paranoia and what I call the black and white thinking is actually unhealed trauma itself. So that if there's a lot of unhealed wounds that one is really not aware of in their conscious mind, let's say unhealed wounds that leave them easily triggered, it could cause them to make sudden black and white decisions about certain people or things to suddenly turn on them or make them the enemy or make them wrong or think that they're a government agent. And it's really an overreaction due to triggering. And that can happen with people who've been through mind control. So that's one of the things. Yeah.
That actually happens to people. Some people, you know how a lot of people, when they get drunk, they become really aggressive and obnoxious and angry all the time, you know, and accuse you of things and what have you. A friend of mine came up with a theory that only happens to you when you're drunk. If you've got lots of unresolved issues, you just turn into a complete vicious psycho when you get intoxicated, because all that stuff just kind of, all the barriers get set loose and you become who you really are beneath.
Yeah, that happens in alcoholics, and that's might be some reason why alcoholics use it to self-medicate, or their inhibitions go down when they're under the influence, and then they'll say things that are really on their mind, and that's dangerous. That could be quite dangerous.
Yeah, I used to be a bouncer at at Subway.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, so of all places that you'd actually need a bouncer in Subway. And I remember my very first night, there was this guy who was trying to jump. You know those big kind of racks that they have where they make the sandwiches, you know, the big kind of plastic glass casing kind of thing?
Oh, yes. over
all the sandwiches. Yeah. He was actually trying to jump over that, convinced.
Oh, no.
utterly convinced that they had beetroot and were hiding it from him.
Had what? Beetroot?
Beetroot, yeah.
What's that? A food, I guess.
Yeah, you know, like red beets.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Oh.
Yeah. I was trying to drag him out by a leg, trying to get him out of the thing, and he latched onto that drink machine just like an Encino man, you know, like, you know, drinking out of the drink machine with no cup.
Wow.
And, you know, just put his face under there. It was quite funny, but it was my first night with no training.
Well, what a fun job. He must have scared you.
That's no, actually, what scared me is when I got beaten up by these two girls and their boyfriends at the same time.
Oh, at a Subway?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. In New Zealand?
Oh, yeah. In Dunedin. Dunedin's very different from New Zealand. It's a Scottish-built town.
Oh, is that why?
Some reason, in normal architecture, houses are designed to insulate heat. And in Dunedin, they're designed to insulate cold, so it's on average 5 degrees colder inside than it is outside. And outside, it's freaking freezing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I watched my olive oil freeze at room temperature.
Wow.
Good times. Good times. Anyway, I'm kind of going off topic talking about myself. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I love hearing it. Well, I'll have to beware of those Subways, though. I usually don't go to Subways, so I guess I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe Subway in Dunedin specifically. Like, yeah. If anybody would, like, inform me that they've seen a bouncer at any Subway other than the Dunedin Subway, like, globally speaking, I'd be very surprised. You know, how much security does my sandwich need?
Oh.
In Dunedin, a lot, as it turns out. Okay. Well, anyway, back on the topic, we're talking about how people's real personalities come out, and it happens a lot.
Or altered personalities, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's the other thing as well. Which personality is the one that's actually real, or are they both real? You know, is it when your alter ego and the nasty one comes out, that's really you, and the smiling visage and all of this stuff is actually this? You know, it's the bad person underneath all of that charm and swagger and smiles and kindness.
Well, yeah. I mean, in multiple personality people who've been created that way purposely, they actually have a methodology of shattering the personality so that they have, let's say, a core personality and then alter personalities that are created from the traumas that are blank slates, and then they are literally programmed to have certain characteristics that are of use to the, I guess, the controllers and the black op people. And then they...
Oh, Eve, we kind of lost you for a second there. Yep.
About... Many
Hold on. If we lost everything that you said there, and then they what?
I was talking about some of the MK Ultra, let's say, assassins or mind controlled victims. They have multiple personalities that are deliberately created through trauma, and so they may have a core personality, and then
personalities. But it was just what you said right after that. But unfortunately, we've run into a break anyway. So we'll come back and reiterate it for you again, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you love the repetition. It'll make you believe that it's real. We'll be right back after the break with Eve Logan from evelogan.com.
I got some so-called friends. My right to my face, or when my back is turned, they like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I think it's already our final segment. Eve, can you believe we've been here for nearly an hour and a half already?
Goodness, time flies.
Yeah. Well, when you're having fun, at least, and you know, you were talking about these super soldiers and the trauma and stuff that they've been through, you know, and I've had a number of these people on here, well, not necessarily all super soldiers and stuff like, but what's his name? I've had White Wolf and Stuart Swerdlow and Douglas Dietrich and keep forgetting the name of the other guy who does Wolf Spirit Radio, who's a good friend of mine. Yeah, but anyway, I pride myself, and if you go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you'll see that every time I've got somebody on the webcam, I'll take a snapshot of them laughing their ass off during this show. It always happens, always. Well, almost always. Have I ever had anybody on this show as a sourpuss? I don't think so. For some reason,
that's good.
Yeah. And I like to have these snapshots of them in the archive sections and things like that. So you'll scroll down, you'll see all these different people, you know, that have been shot, stabbed, you know, framed, had assassination attempts on their lives, had their million-dollar fortunes confiscated by the IRS. Or, you know, people have been through real horrific times laughing their asses off on this show. And that's one of the things that I want to do, really, as in terms of functioning in the truth movement for myself. I just want to help people who've gone through real harsh stuff have a good time, you know?
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, people need to laugh, you know. It can get very serious and, you know, depressing sometimes. So you definitely have to have something in your life that gives you joy and laughter and to have a sense of humor. I agree. I am. My thing is yoga. I love yoga and I love handstands and I used to be a gymnast, so I'm a very physical person and that makes me happy to do things like that and not be so focused writing all the time or being on the phone, and I have to have an outlet myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems that nowadays we're raised from birth to be, I don't know, something less than human, something worse, maybe, you know, with all the vaccinations and all of this kind of stuff, you know.
Of course, it makes you wonder, you know. I mean, there is theories about that. I mean, the transhumanism theory, I'm sure you've heard of the Sophia Smallstorm's presentation about chemtrails, Morgellons, and transhumanism and the nanotechnology connections with what's going on in the chemtrails. And, you know, what is that really about? And are there aliens behind this in terms of genetic modification of the human race? So these are the issues that are coming up with many of the people who've had the lifelong alien encounters and are starting to interact with the hybrids and being used to create hybrids and what that's really about. So you have to wonder that, you know, if the global elite are actually under the orders of a non-human intelligence to terraform the planet or to change human genetics so that we can accommodate an alien-human hybrid life form here.
See, in some time in the future, I can guarantee a baby's first words, instead of being "mama," "daddy," will be something more along the lines of "trauma," "dead guys,"
like "take me out of here. I don't want to be born here."
And kids are so innocent like that. And it's just like, and that's another thing that I've heard a lot about is the propensity to sacrifice and kill and torture children and things like this by the elite. That's always interested me in a really horrific way. Like, I don't know, I might be a little bit sadistic, perhaps. I just like to see the worst of humanity so that I know what it's like and then try and figure out a way of dealing with it, you know, like a problem solver of emotional trauma. That's what I like to do, but I can barely even solve my own problems, let alone other people's.
Well, I mean, I think that the psychology behind, let's say, the people involved in the, I call it the cabal, the global elite, the MKUltra control meisters, what we're finding is that psychopathology is the norm for these, quote, humans. And this is something that I talked about in The Dark Side of Cupid, which is when you can start to identify psychopathology, how it manifests in behaviors and relationships, but also the human who has been taken over by a non-human entity such as a lizard reptilian and the type of psychopathology that results from that type of human. And I think that's what's going on with some of these global elite who have literally been taken over by non-human life forms and become psychopaths as a result. And so their behaviors and their psychology is completely different than what we can even comprehend. So the hard thing about this is when you're, quote, a regular human who thinks like a regular human, it's hard to comprehend the extent of evil and psychopathology that really exists. And so we tend to block it out from our reality and worldview that this could not exist because it makes no sense. It's complete craziness and it doesn't make sense. And truly, psychopathology is crazy. But in my view, I think it's a manifestation of the complete disconnect from the divine and what happens when there's a disconnect from the divine and the psychology that becomes twisted as a result. And so this is pretty serious, and the planet needs to heal and to connect more with the divine aspect of soul, or even Mother Earth is considered the divine feminine, and to reconnect and to heal that aspect so that a greater humanity and humaneness returns, because what we're seeing is a greater and greater degree of psychopathology, and now it's starting to become more, I guess, spoken about on radio shows. I know Thomas Sheridan talks about that and others. But in my book, I go a step further, and I'm saying that there's a type of psychopathology that is a result of the non-human hosting and possession of a human individual, that it's literally partially possessed or taken over by these non-human entities. And that's part of what psychopathology is, if you could have the clairvoyant perception to see that. In fact, I have a recent post on my website it's actually somebody sent it to me. It's a clairvoyant person's drawing and perception of a hosting process by a lizard entity and also an insectoid type of being. And it was actually a French clairvoyant who did some pictures, and I have some diagrams on my website of that. It's pretty interesting because he talks about how the energy field is literally shifted and which chakras are being manipulated and held onto by these entities. And so when this happens, a complete shift in consciousness occurs so that empathy goes out the window. The capacity for human empathy doesn't exist in these psychopaths. So they fake behaviors. They're really good at faking and acting. And it's amazing how charming and effective they are in deceiving those who are even pretty smart. And that's something that I went into my book in great detail, because it's actually amazing the effectiveness they have at seducing. I mean, like the classic vampire, for example, that they're good at what they do. They're very good at what they do, and that's why they're able to do what they do. And you can't always recognize it for what it is or escape or set boundaries with these kinds of individuals like you would with, let's say, a normal human who just has a few personality issues. You know, you're talking about some real difficult people, or, well, if you even want to call them people at this point. So the question remains.
Well, this is why I think everybody's talking about the man's inhumanity to man. Maybe it's not man's inhumanity to man. Maybe it's something else showing inhumanity that's actually an identifying characteristic of something that's not totally human.
Well, that's what I've always thought. And based on, I was lucky enough to have known many people in my life and that I worked with who were naturally psychic and clairvoyant, whether or not they could perceive energy, you know, empathically or be able to see it with their inner vision. But when you have a clairvoyance view of what's happening in, let's say, relationship dynamics or in group dynamics, and you start to perceive how these psychopaths who are hosted, how they interact and how they recognize each other and how they, I mean, I have an article on my website called Snakes at the Water Cooler. And it's a classic example, and it's actually quite comical, of how these hosted psychopath types of characters interact in a business environment, CEO environment, and their hierarchy, and how they control employees and the psychology and the dynamics they use to control and manipulate people. And it's actually hilarious, but it's true how these people interact. And, you know, one of the things that has come up in the alien abduction research early on was oftentimes, let's say, the person was taken by the aliens and subjected to a number of things, including usually like physical experimentation, whether it was a something to do with their sexual organs or a physical sample taken or an implant. But there are other things that they do in the alien abduction experience, such as emotional testing and training, or being shown scenarios like on a screen, for example, of ecologic destruction or different things, and then being told that, oh, well, this is what you guys are doing to each other, humans, humanities, inhumanity on humanity, basically how humans are so evil to one another and how we're creating all this destruction. And it's like they were basically inflicting a guilt trip on these people. And in reality, when you look behind the MKUltra Illuminati and the entities working behind them, they're the ones creating the problems and then turning around and trying to make you feel guilty because you created it. So it's a massive psyop.
Yep, there's a lot of that going around.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, and anybody who's part of this movement for more than, you know, when I say this movement, are we even moving anywhere? when you're part of this field of research for more than 2 minutes, you start to realize, oh my God, not only are these really nasty kind of pieces of work and scumbaggery individuals seeking out positions of power within the normal world, but they're actually seeking it out of positions of power in our field of research too, you know, becoming radio show hosts and webmasters, all that kind
Absolutely.
Of stuff. Anyway, unfortunately, we've run out of time, Eve.
My goodness.
Thank you very much.
That was fun.
EveLorgan.com and also Super Soldier Summit.